This morning our reading was the second half of Matthew chapter 1. We had the first half of Matthew chapter 1 last night, which if you do have a Bible in front of you, you'd notice is the genealogy of Jesus. And so we had a three-part sermon by Chi, who's with us this morning, even though he was on last night at 11 p.m. Well done, Chi. And so last night, that was the exciting part. It was the genealogy. Now we're on to part two. And thank you to Claude for the reading this morning. As we think about this, I just want to just underline the fact that as we're sort of sitting in Matthew's Gospel now as a church through to Easter, and we're going to be looking at Matthew's Gospel. And one of the things that I've been struck with so far as just thinking about Matthew's Gospel is this idea of the poor and the meek and the merciful. It's the less, not the strong. It's not the powerful. We'll be thinking about that a little bit more tomorrow as well. There's something mysterious yet beautiful that happens sometimes when amazing things are achieved through those who are weak, those who are on the back foot. And we've got this amazing picture of the confusion that comes about in Matthew chapter 1 from verse 18. And so I've named this talk Hope in Strange Places. And hope, just for a moment, if we can think about that, I've already defined the word Mary for us this morning. But to define the word hope, it's a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. It's a desire of expectation, a feeling of expectation, sorry, a desire for a particular thing to happen. Something coming that's exciting. And for many of us, that's actually Christmas, isn't it? You've been working all year and you've had another interesting year, thanks to COVID, and we've gotten here and it's time to stop work. It's time, hopefully, to put down tools. It's time to spend some time with family and friends. If you're younger, then it's time for presents. Maybe if you're older, it's time for presents as well. And it's probably time for eating. There's a feeling of expectation, a desire for a particular thing to happen. But hope actually has an older meaning as well. Hope as an older meaning is a feeling of trust. And when you think about it, even the new definition that is something exciting that's happening, there's trust that something exciting will happen, isn't there? But the old definition makes it more relational in a sense. You're trusting maybe in somebody. You have a hope in someone, not just in something. Well, I've got three things just to think about briefly this morning. The first is that hope is unexpected. And we see this real unexpected thing happen to Mary in verse 18. It says, Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Everything's normal there, isn't it? Nothing too exciting. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through. Now, if you just stopped there, maybe still nothing, maybe exciting, a little bit of a scandal, but not amazing. And it says, through the Holy Spirit. This is different. This is unexpected. And yet there is a hope in all of this as this reading unfolds for us. But it's unexpected. I was playing with a little diagram. So if you've done one of these, then you would know that one bar means not pregnant. Two bars mean pregnant. Three bars means Holy Spirit pregnant. And so Mary gets the three-bar version, which is very Trinitarian. Just for a moment, if we've got anybody who doesn't understand this, think about it as if you've done one of the self-COVID tests. One bar is negative, no COVID. Two is positive. And three is positive with a Holy Spirit baby. But the similar sort of things. This is unexpected. They don't actually make a test for this. That's right, I put that picture together for you this morning. They don't make that. You can't buy that at Priceline Pharmacy. This is unexpected. And yet, even though it's unexpected, there's hope in this. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing again and again, expecting different results. The thing that saves us from insanity is when something unexpected, something new comes in. And so it says in verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so suddenly there's more information about this mystery pregnancy. The picture there is a picture of Sleepy Joe. Joseph is nodding off there in his chair. There's an angel that's come to him in a vision. I find it amazing if you look at verse 20, it says, but after he had considered this is Joseph, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's amazing that after what had happened that Joseph could sleep at all, I would have thought. But here he is, sleeping. And so what does Joseph do to this news that has come? This unexpected thing, which thankfully an angel has informed him is good news, because something new and amazing is about to happen. And I love this picture. This is cool. It's a little bit creepy at points, if you look closely at it. When Joseph woke up, he's told, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. And so that's the wedding ceremony. I don't know who the dude is who got to officiate the wedding ceremony, but God's involved. Can you see the dove above Joseph's head? That's the Holy Spirit. But can you see the two hands? If you've seen the Addams Family thing, just like, yeah. Anyway, it's creepy. But God's there. He's somehow in all of this. Joseph, behind him, he's got a plant, which seemed to be common with pictures of Joseph around that time. And I don't know if it's a branch of Jesse type symbolism or something, I don't know what that is, but it's there as well. You could think maybe it's some sort of hallucinatic drug, but it's not, I'm sure. But there's an unexpected thing happening. There's expectation, but there's also trust, because God, through his angels, has said, this is a good thing. I'm doing something new. I'm doing something different. And it's unexpected, but it's good. And Joseph and Mary, amazingly, going by the old definition of hope, trust that God knows what he's doing. The second thing that I feel comes out in this passage about hope is that there is hope in something in particular. This passage actually hearkens to the fact that even though this is unexpected for Mary and Joseph, it's actually something that God had planned all along. Verse 21 says, she will give birth to a son and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This is the promised Messiah. Verse 22 it makes it quite clear that this is to fulfill a prophecy. All this took place, it says, to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And then if you've got a Bible that gives you little cross references, it goes down to where that comes from. So there's hope in a promise. And Mary and Joseph amazingly trust God in what he tells them is going to happen and what it is that he is doing. For us here at Macquarie Chapel, one of the, I guess, main things that we think about as to who it is that we are as a community and what it is that God has called us to and for, is that we're to be a people who are loved by him. We're to be a people who trust, have a hope in the promise that he has made through his son. That God has reached down, and like the creepy photo with the hands, he's reached down to us and wants to embrace us. And the way he does that is not by waiting for us to come to him, by actually coming to us in the form of a child like us. In Genesis 12:3, God had said to Abraham, all people will be blessed through you. And we see ourselves as people who follow Jesus and have taken on that promise that we are to be a blessing to those around us. We've been loved by God, and so we have been called to love others. As I prayed earlier, that we might receive the gift that we need so that we might be the gift that others need. A community, a nation, a world impacted by, blessed by love, God's love for us. And there's something beautiful about this promise And even though Mary and Joseph have it all ahead of them at this point of this reading, we have it behind us, don't we? We have a picture of what Jesus has done. And we're going to spend some time in Matthew's gospel leading up to Christmas, as I said. And Jesus in Matthew 11 says these amazing words. And there's a picture there that could be you later today after lunch, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This is the time of year where often we need to hear that, don't we? Because life has been so full on. And we find ourselves trying to be everything to everyone. We find ourselves constantly ruled by work or family demands, relationships, whatever it might be. And this whole promise that Mary and Joseph are given is a promise that Jesus expands on in Matthew 11. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He says, "Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." There's this freedom that is promised in this Saviour, that somehow through his death and his resurrection, through his life, through his words, we will find a new life if we would but trust in him and the one who sent him. Jesus is saying he's got it sorted. He's a part of the answer to the big problem if we would just trust him and the one that sent him. And so there is a hope in the promise. But thirdly and finally, and this is, I think, something that we'll probably revisit as we go through Matthew, as I said, there is a hope in the meek, in the small thing that happens. And a virgin birth is not a small thing, but a child being born is a small thing. That's something that happens every day. In fact, it happens every minute of every day there's a child born. And that in itself is a miracle, which we begin to take for granted, I guess. But this birth is like no other, this conception. Verse 25, it says, "But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Matthew's gospel just so matter-of-factly puts this, that this promise, what God is doing, this thing that if you go all the way back to Genesis, what God said he would do and is coming about through this, just a child, just a pregnancy, just an infant. I love this picture, Jesus, golden-haired child. Don't know where that comes from. I don't know if you've noticed, but Joseph's got the plant again. And Mary's, I think, solidly asleep. Which if you went back to the wedding photo, you would have noticed she was asleep at the wedding as well. She's always got her head to one side and her eyes asleep. It's funny how we all have our own little picture as we read Matthew's gospel, and that's probably not your picture. It wasn't mine. We all have an image or an understanding of what it is that God is doing. But some of the things that amaze me about this is that the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, is born into a rural working class family. God chooses to do things through the meek, through the less than, through those who sometimes face hardships in life that others don't. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. That's how our reading started this morning. So I'm hoping to finish, if you'd indulge me, with a poem written by a man named David Tenson. And it's his picture of what might have happened at that birth. And so maybe I'll just go through it, and the words are already up on the screen if you want to. You can take the opportunity to sit with these words if you like. "His face pressed against her breast. So this is what he looks like, the one the prophets spoke of, the one the angel offered. Her eyes catch Joseph's gaze. Mary whispers, "He looks like us, Yahweh. Looks like us." His turned up nose, now hunting for milk, and with trembling fingers, she does her best to flick open the mouth of God, pulling his head in closer to her chest, closer to her heart. And in this way, God receives his first meal in a stranger's home from the body of a teenage Galilean. The memory of every event leading up to this moment courses through her body. Tears of relief cross her olive cheeks and fall upon her newborn. As Joseph now strokes her brow, she closes her eyes, looks up to the heavens, and catches herself, giving thanks to God, who now lays in her arms. Emmanuel, God is with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that we have through something so unexpected. We thank you for your promises that you have made, and through Jesus you have kept. And we thank you for the way that you chose to enter this world. As a child born in a stable to working class parents in a small town, I pray, Lord, that it might remind us this Christmas that you might choose to do things through us, those of us who are also weak, poor of spirit, and humble. We want to thank you for the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords, who was born so that we might also live. In Jesus' name, amen.